We'll be in Acts chapter 4 tonight, from verses 31 to 35. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. And tonight is, are you giving your all to the Lord? Are you giving your all to the Lord? Let's go ahead and start reading in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4. The Bible says this, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And to verse 35. We live in a day and age, folks, where everything is just fast and easy. It's easier and faster to watch a 1 minute video on your phone, right, or on YouTube, than to read a book, okay, on the human brain. It's way easier. You could just go on YouTube or whatever social media platform you use, and you could look it up, or maybe you'll just run through when you're wasting time scrolling through the videos, and you'll see a 1 minute video of, let's say the human brain. Okay, it's easier and faster just to watch a 1 minute video. It catches your attention, all right, than it is for you to go somewhere in your house, a quiet place, or in your room to sit down and read a book. It's just easier. Those are the times we live in nowadays, and people are hooked and addicted to those kind of things. I don't know if I said this before here in the auditorium, or if it was with the teenagers, but I was reading an article where Bill Gates, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, and he said he didn't want to let his children use cell phones and tablets too much, maybe just 1 hour a day, okay? Because he knew those devices were very addictive, and they are. A lot of people, they can't live without their phones anymore. They're always using their phones. They can't leave the house without their phones. Everyone needs their phone nowadays. Okay? And like I've said this before, I strongly believe that cell phones, okay, are dumbing down our society. It's dumbing down our society. People are literally stuck to those things. They need their phone all the time. I don't want to be mean to the young people tonight, but I am going to be honest. Just look at the young people, all right? They either got a headphone in their ear, right? They got their phones ready to go, all charged up. During class, sometimes I have to say 20 to 30 times, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away, put your phone away. They always have their phones, all right? And it's because they're addicted to it, okay? It could be like that for some adults in here tonight. You're addicted to your phone. You're always using your phone. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. You may deny. You say, no, I'm not addicted to it. But if you can't let it go, and if you were to look at your screen time on the settings, and you see that it's 16 hours or something that you're always on, that you're addicted to your phone. And that's literally happening nowadays. In the church, that's happening a lot in the church around Christian people, especially Christian men. All right, and I'm targeting Christian men because the men ought to be the leaders, okay, in the home. I won't speak much on the home yet. I don't feel ready for that. I'm not even married, okay? But I will say in the church, all right, you ought to lead in your home, all right? And like I said, I won't go deep into that. I strongly believe in practicing what I preach, and I'm just not there yet. But like I said, I will say that in the church, as men, we ought to lead in the church as well. Christian men have become lazy as well. And a lot of men in our Christian churches have stopped, like I said, leading in their families and in the house of God. We've become lazy, all right? All these devices, the cell phone, and I will say this till I will be preaching this till the day I die. I believe these things, okay, have made our society, not just our society, but our churches, okay, the Christians in our churches, they have become lazy because of this little thing right here. Or not just their cell phone, but the TV. Or maybe it's video games. And you become lazy and lazy, and it dumbs you down, and you see all these things on the internet. A lot of it is most likely a bunch of lies, but there you are believing it. Oh, it's all lies. A lot of it is just lies. And you're just there wasting your time. You have no motivation to do anything in life. There's a lot of young people, teenagers, young people that are depressed all the time. Okay? I personally had these conversations with teenagers, and I don't understand why they're depressed. I tell them, your parents are not going through a divorce. You don't have the right to be depressed. Nobody from your family is dying or has died. You shouldn't be depressed. Everything in your house is going well. Maybe there's a few problems. We're all humans. That stuff happens. But they still find a way to be depressed. And you know what it is? It's these things right here. They'll go on Instagram, Snapchat, and they see other people's lives. And it's all a lie. It's all just show. People on Instagram that have millions and millions of followers, they just got to make their picture look good, and Instagram will pay them because people are watching them, okay? And everything is just vanity. They want to make everything look good. And all this stuff, folks, it's making us lazy, okay? As Christians, all right? As Bible-believing Christians, it's making us lazy as well. People don't want to work for the Lord anymore. But my question to you tonight is, what the title of my sermon is, are you giving your all to the Lord? Are you giving your all to the Lord? Think about that for a moment. And please put your phones away back there, please. Israel, put your phone away, all right? I don't want to see it, please. No phones right now when we're preaching, okay? But are you giving your all to the Lord, all right? There's two things I want to talk about tonight. And that is in regards to preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, and giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and are you giving to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you giving your all? Let's go ahead and jump to that first point. I won't take long. My sermon's not that long for tonight. Number one, preaching Jesus Christ. Preaching Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 31. And I know that I went through this passage with you young people this past Sunday, but I really felt like I needed to preach this tonight. So if I could still have your full attention, please. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." They prayed. The Bible says they prayed. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after that, they spake the word of God with boldness, the Bible says. You know, you won't be able to serve the Lord effectively, okay? You won't be able to be faithful to the house of God if you don't pray. Prayer is very important. I'll be honest. Naturally, I'm a lazy person. I like to be lazy. One of the hardest things, something that was tough for me was going out soul winning, because you're out walking, knocking on doors, you have to talk to people, and I'm just not that type of person, okay? But I always pray. One of my prayer requests in my journal, my prayer journal, is I tell God to put a compassion in me for lost souls. And I pray that every day, and you know what? I'm motivated to go soul winning. I want to go soul winning. I want to share the gospel with people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is important in your life. A lot of you in here, if you don't feel motivated to come to the house of God, you feel like you're always being dragged to church or just reading your Bible or serving the Lord, it's most likely because you don't pray enough. Okay? Or you don't even pray at all. I'm not telling you, you need to pray an hour, right? Or 30 minutes. Maybe it could just say, you know what? I'm going to pray for 5 minutes today. Prayer is important. If you need to, get a journal or a piece of paper and write down a few things that you would want to pray for. It's important. If you're single, young people, you should pray that the Lord will one day bring you your husband or your wife, and that the Lord will prepare you for that day. I know that's one of the things I have in my journal as well. Okay? Just find things in your life that you need or you want to thank God for. Write it down in a journal. That's so important, folks. It's very important. And a lot of times the reasons why we don't take our time just to sit down for 5 minutes and just write, five prayer requests, five personal prayer requests, is because we'd rather go to this and just waste our time on this. This takes up so much time of your life. You need to learn to put this down, okay? Pray. The Bible says they prayed, okay? Let's keep on going here. Like I said, you won't have that desire to tell others about Christ if you don't pray. It's God that does the work in us. All right. It's God that does the work in us. Like I said, I pray that God will put that desire in my heart to go reach the lost. God will do the same with you. He'll put that desire to go reach the lost when you ask him. Okay. And then we just go out as messengers. We're just the messengers. You know, there's nothing special about Carlos Vallejo. There's nothing special about me. All right. I'm just a messenger. When I'm out soul winning, I tell people, when they want to give me a bad attitude or something, I tell them, I'm just a messenger. It's up to you if you want to listen or not. God sent me here for a reason. All right. We're just a messenger, folks. Okay. He sends us out as messengers filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then we preach the word of God boldly. That's what happened with these people here. They prayed. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they went out. Okay. It literally says they went out to preach the word of God boldly. Okay. It takes work. You got to go out. Like I said, the Bible says that these people spake the word of God with boldness. Well, of course they spake the word of God with boldness. All right. The Bible says that after they prayed, what happened? It says the place was shaken where they were assembled together. All right. The Holy Spirit of God was very present there because these Christians were giving it their all. Okay. Look, we just finished praying right now. Did this building shake? Did it shake? Did anybody feel the building shaking? No. Right. These people, they prayed. All right. And the Bible says that the building was shaking. All right. And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, these people, all right, these Christians, the apostles, they were giving it their all. They were praying. I mean, the Bible says the place was shaking. Amen. These people were giving it their all. All right. We ought to do the same. Let me ask you again. Are you giving your all? Are you giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about that for a moment. All right. Are you giving your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? And let's go ahead and jump to verse 32. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. We see something very important here in verse 32 that it's not so much part of the sermon, but it's very important. I want to stop on that for a bit. He says in the beginning of verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Okay? The multitude, the people there, they all believed. And the Bible says they were all of one heart and one soul. Okay? And they all gave to each other. If you keep reading, that's what the Bible says. All right? There was something very important here. Okay? And that is unity. There was unity amongst this group of Christians. All right. Now there ought to be unity in our church. Amen. I've been to churches. I've been to multiple churches. And for some reason, I always find out someone tells me, oh, this brother doesn't like talking to this brother because he said this and that. Or this lady in the church is talking about this other lady in the church and they don't want to talk anymore. Okay. Believe it or not, that happens a lot in our churches. All right? Possibly even in this church. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm pretty sure there's something going down, but right behind in the shadows, okay? God wants us to be unified. He wants us to be together. There ought to be unity in the church. I remember I took a bus route back in college. I was supposed to be the... We had bus routes, and they were 20, bus 21, bus 22, bus 23, bus 24, 25, 26. There was a bunch of bus routes back at Golden State. And I remember I was supposed to be the bus captain for bus 26. I was working in bus 26 for 3 years of my Bible college time, okay? And they were training me. I remember my bus captain was training me. I had a master student on my route, very humble young man of God. I still remember K. Leak. He was very humble. And I remember I was just a dumb little freshman there. And man, K. Leak, he was a master student. I'm talking about great soul winner. They had this thing called a SWAT. Soul winning advanced team. That's what it was called. And he was part of that group in college back at Golden State. And that, what their job was to go to the wealthy areas there in Santa Clara, and they would go talk to multimillionaires and stuff like that. But he was part of that group. And I remember he was so humble. He would let me lead, and I didn't even know how to lead. I was still a dumb little freshman. And I remember something would come up in the bus route, and he would tell me, "All right, Carlos, what are we going to do?" Usually when you have an upperclassman or a master student like that, they're like, "Oh no, we don't want to listen to the freshman." But I remember K League. I will always remember K League. But, I remember they were training me to be the next bus captain for bus 26. And my senior year, my fourth year at the college, they made me the bus captain. Okay. But the next week later, I had found out that some other bus captain had quit for another bus route, which was bus 21. And I remember Brother Ron Lewis, he was a director there of the bus ministry. And he was like, "Man, what am I going to do? This guy just quit, this and that." But while I was in bus 26, I was training my friend as well, just in case anything happened where I didn't come back or just something happened. But that was my friend Jeffrey. And I was always training him, and I could see he had leadership. And I told Brother Ron, "You know what, Brother Ron? I'll go ahead and move to that bus route, bus 21. And he said, "Are you sure?" Yeah, I was like, "Yes, yes." And I moved to bus 21. I didn't know any of the workers there. They all, in bus 21, it wasn't as unified as bus 26. Bus 26 was literally the best route there in Bible college when I was in it. And I got to bus 21. I didn't know anybody. People there, they didn't even like each other. And I always preached unity on our bus route. Unity, unity, unity. Over time, the Lord started blessing us, knocking on doors. We were bringing kids to church. They were bringing families to church. It was great. And I started seeing that all the workers there, we were unified. The reason why the Lord was blessing us was because there was unity on our route. God blesses a group of people, a church, when there's unity, folks. If you have a problem here with somebody in the church, you need to go fix it like an adult and be responsible about it. Amen. Loving and kind and forgiving. Whatever it is. But unity is important in the church. Let's keep on going here. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 verse 42. The next chapter here. Acts chapter 5 verse 42. Remember, these people were out soul winning, preaching the word of God daily. Look at what the Bible says. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach." Okay? They ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were preaching Jesus Christ. These people were out soul winning daily, the Bible says. It says, "And daily in the temple and in every house." Okay? They were knocking on all the houses. You see all these houses out here when you walk out of church? This is our area, folks. Amen. This is all our area. We ought to go daily. Okay. If we can, or we have soul winning on Saturdays and Tuesdays, you ought to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to try and make it to one of those days. Amen. These people were going out daily, soul winning. That's why I like the book of Acts. It's very encouraging. If you read in other chapters, you see that they got, on one of them, they got 3,000 saved in one day. Amen. Imagine that. 3,000 people saved in one day. These people were out preaching. They were teaching about Jesus Christ. Are you giving your all to the Lord tonight? When is that time going to come? When you say, you know, Brother Carlos, I don't know yet. I don't think I'm ready yet. Let me tell you, you don't need to know and you don't need to be ready, honestly. Just give your all to the Lord. And maybe tonight's the night where you finally decide, you know what? I'm going to give my all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And like I said, these people prayed. The building started shaking. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they were out preaching the Word of God boldly, the Bible says. These people literally gave every ounce of energy they had to the Lord. They gave everything to the Lord. Are you giving everything to the Lord tonight? Like I said, we have soul winning programs here every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. and then on Saturdays at 9:30 a.m. Amen. And I'm going to be working here now. If you say, Brother Carlos, I can't make it these days, let me know. Call me. We'll schedule a time to go out soul winning. Amen. There's no excuse for you to not go soul winning. You say, Brother Carlos, I don't know how to go soul winning. Just the fact that you show up, all right, God's going to bless it. I believe little is much when God is in it. And let me remind you something tonight, folks. God is in it when you just show up. He's in it already. He's not asking for you to have a degree. He's not asking you to know 50 Bible verses by memory. Just show up. Little is much when God is in it. Make that first step and just show up. These people gave their all to the Lord when it came to serving and preaching Him. They gave all. Amen. Let's go to point number two here, and I'll finish with this. Giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 4. And we'll read verses 34 to 35. The Bible says this, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Not only did they give their all physically, but they also gave their all financially. These people, they gave their all. Are you listening to me? They gave their all financially. These people, they literally sold their land, all right, and houses just so they could give to the Lord. I mean, imagine, right? You're comfortable in your house. Imagine selling that and just giving it to the church. A lot of you would struggle with that tonight. I'll be honest, I'll struggle with that as well. I like my house. Amen. I like my room. It's comfortable and cozy and quiet sometimes. But I love it. These people were selling their land, their houses, and what does the Bible say? They gave everything. With the money they made from giving their selling their house, their land, what did they do? They went to the apostles' feet. And they laid it down before them. These people sold everything they had to give to the Lord. Let me ask you this. Are you giving your all to the Lord financially? Are you giving your all to the Lord financially? You know, folks, it's important, all right? And there's some preachers nowadays, they're scared to talk about finances or money because they don't want people to think bad about them. But it's biblical to preach about this stuff as well. Amen. It's important that we give money to the Lord. Amen. You don't want to be robbing from the Lord. You say, Brother Carlos, I'm the one that works and I'm the one that makes that money. Okay, God blessed you with that job. God gave you the brain, okay, and the energy, your arms, your legs to go and work. Amen. At the end of the day, it's God blessing you with that. It is God. But don't try and rob from God. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. The last book in the Old Testament. Don't get lost No. Malachi chapter 3. Let's look at verse 8. The Bible says this. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Okay. Verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All right? It's important we give our tithes to the Lord. Amen? It's important that we give, that we tithe in the house of God. A lot of people like to say, oh, Brother Carlos, but that's just the Old Testament. Well, it's still the same God from the Old Testament. Yes, we're living in the New Testament, but it's still the same God. In the New Testament, we just have Jesus now. Praise the Lord for that. I like to tell the teenagers about all the, I don't know if I should say crazy stuff, but if you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. I mean, God would kill fornicators, all right? When Moses was out taking the people out of Egypt, and there was sin in the camp and amongst the people, God would just take care of them. He'll destroy them like that. Now, we have Christians like that living a life of sin, but we're blessed to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He paid the price already. Amen? But like I said, people like to say, oh, that's just the Old Testament, Brother Carlos. That doesn't really matter. No, it's still the same God. Amen? And it's important that we learn how to give money to God, to the house of God. The word tithe literally means a tenth part. Okay? And trust me, my friend, you don't want to rob a tenth part from God. I've explained this before. I've explained it with the teenagers as well. A tenth part is, say you make $500 a week. All right, what's a tenth part of $500? 50. Amen. That's not even a lot. $50. You give $50 to the Lord. The one that originally gave you those $500, okay? He originally gave you those $500. You only give him 50 and you stay with 450. You're still keeping the majority of the money. Amen. God is still good. Okay? And if you keep on reading here in verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saying the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall be not be room enough to receive it. Amen. Not only, okay, are we giving a little bit of money to the Lord, if we give it with the right heart, okay, understanding, humbling ourselves, Lord, these $50, these $500 you gave me, I have to give you a tenth part. And with the right heart, folks, okay, you know, Lord, I'm going to give you these $50. And you humble yourself, okay, before the Lord, these $50 are yours, Lord. Amen. Okay? And God sees that. And he'll say, you know what? My servant here, he's giving me $50 out of the $500 he made. He's giving me a tenth part, 10% of his money. You know what? I think I'm going to open the windows of heaven and bless him. Look, folks, I've seen, I like to give to the Lord, to the house of God. I don't give very much, but the little I do it with the right heart. And you know what? God just blesses me. God just bless. And some of you have probably already seen that in your life. And amen. Keep up the good work. The Lord loves you. He's going to bless you. He sees you're doing it with the right heart. Now, there's some of you, you're still, you know, how the us Hispanics, they like to, they go like this. Does anybody know what that means? Yeah. What? Okay, the elbow. But in Spanish, that means you could call the stingy. Okay? You're stingy with your money. God sees that. God sees your heart. Amen? Man, we don't see your heart, and I don't want to see your heart. Okay? I got to worry about my own sin. Okay? I got to make sure I'm right with the Lord. I'm in no place to be judging anybody. Amen? But the Lord sees your heart. Okay? He sees the Lord blesses you in your finances, and God is watching you. Okay? He's looking down at you. In Psalms, the Bible says that the Lord has His eyes down looking at us, on the righteous one. Okay? On the Christian. He's looking down at us. Alright? And He sees your heart. Some of you, God can't bless you with more because you're just stingy. You don't want to give for anything. You don't even want to put $1 in the plate. You don't give any. God can't bless someone like that, folks. And apart from that, I'm going to be honest with you, as we just read in verse 8, will a man rob God? There's probably some Christians that will rob God. That money belongs to the Lord. Amen. And God wants us to have a good heart with Him when it comes to that situation, and give to Him. And listen, folks, if you do it with the right heart, God is going to bless that. As we just read in Acts, these people, they gave their all to the Lord. A lot of us, we complain and whine. Oh, 10%, man. I could have stayed with 500. Now I'm only going to stay with 450. These people were selling their houses, their land. Amen. They were giving their all. What about us? What about the Christians of today? Are you giving your all to the Lord? I'm not saying give your whole check to the church or donate your check to some missionary or chair. I don't know. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, are you giving with the right heart? Are you giving to the Lord's house? Amen. God wants us to give. Are you giving your all? And I'll finish with this. The Bible says that Abraham gave a tenth part of everything he had. That's what the Bible says in Genesis. Abraham gave a tenth part of everything he had. Maybe some of you in here, you have multiple cash flows. You make money from this business over here or this. I know people like that. This business over here or this business or this job over here. Or you have two jobs. Okay? There's people that give money a tenth part out of everything they make. Abraham gave a tenth part, the Bible says, of everything he had. Everything he had, he gave a tenth part. The Lord saw him, his humbleness, his heart. And the Bible says that God blessed Abraham tremendously. All right? To be honest with you, a tenth part, 10% isn't much. Okay? But I still want to be faithful in giving that little to the Lord. Little is much when God is in it. When your heart is in the right place, those $50, God can make those into $500. He can bless more and more. All you have to do is give it with the right heart. Amen. Are you giving your all to the Lord? Are you giving your all to God? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer.